Father, I just want to praise and thank you for your presence with us, guiding us, leading us, drawing us into your lovely presence. And Lord, as we open your word, as we reflect on what it means to know you and to be recipients of your generosity and your love, Lord, touch our hearts and our minds and do your work of transformation within us, that we may be the people you want us to be, and to know that we are loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Could you all, there should be apples everywhere, could you please take an apple and hold it in your hand? You should have apples on the table in front of you, on the chairs around you. Can everybody get hold of an apple somehow? Just hold it in your hand for a moment. A question. When you think of apples and the Bible, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Yeah, but no. No. There are no mention of apples in the book of Genesis. No. Blow your mind. No, there is no mention of apples in the book of Genesis. Apples are mentioned in Scripture, and we'll come back to that in a minute. It says the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Doesn't say it's an apple. Even though it has become associated with an apple, it probably wasn't. We don't know what it was, it's just a fruit. Some commentators like to suggest it was an apricot, but again, we don't know. But apples weren't particularly common in Israel, and it's very unlikely that the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil was an apple. So no, Eve did not offer an apple to Adam, and no, Adam didn't take a bite out of it. Okay, we don't know what the fruit was. But can anybody tell me where apples are mentioned in the Bible? Now you're worried, aren't you? Oh, got that one wrong. Am I going to get this one wrong as well? They are mentioned quite a few times, but usually associated with just one phrase. Did you know the apple of God's eye? Yeah? Is mentioned many, many times throughout Scripture. Let me just give you a few references. We're going to be looking at the Bible a lot. You don't have to look these up. I'm just going to rattle them off, but we will be getting you to look up some other passages in a minute. Deuteronomy 32:10. In a desert land, he found him. In a barren and howling waste, he shielded him. He cared for him and guarded him as the apple of his eye. God finding us in the wasteland and bringing us into his presence. Psalm 17, verse 8. Hide me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Song of Songs, a very misunderstood book. Sometimes it's interpreted as a love song between two people. Other times it's interpreted as a love song between God and his people, or his people and God. Female figure says, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my beloved among men. I delight to sit in his shade. The apple is sweet to my taste. Zechariah 2, verse 8. This is what the Lord Almighty says. After the glorious one has sent me against the nations, and I have plundered you. For whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. Do you feel like the apple of God's eye this morning? Are you fruitful? Are you rosy? Oh, yeah, had to do that, had to do it. The idea of an apple in Scripture is that God thinks that we are beautiful. We are special. An apple of the eye is a metaphor for delighting in something. Do you know that God is delighted with you? God is delighted with you. He thinks that you are special, you are unique, you are wonderful, you are precious. What I want to do this morning is to explore this idea that we are valued by God, that we are precious to Him. What does it mean to be valued by God? I think one of those things is that God wants to keep us close to Him. Now, do any of you still carry a wallet? Yeah? Traditional wallet? Yeah? Okay. I mean, I'm afraid I carry a phone now because I do all my financial transactions by waving it at things. But the screen, the save screen and the first screen has a picture of my family. Does your wallet have a picture of people who you love in it? Yeah? Did it used to, when you used to carry a wallet or a purse, did you carry a picture of your loved ones? Yeah? And you wanted that to be close to you, didn't you? You wanted a reminder, just as something to show that they were the precious people in your life. You carried them close to you. Just like on my save screen, I carry a picture of my family. Yeah. So that whenever I turn my phone on, the first thing I see is my family, because they're precious to me. Did you know that God carries a picture of you in His wallet? And He has the biggest wallet ever. If He had an iPhone or a whatever, He'd probably have you as His save screen. Because He wants to have you close to His heart. He wants to have you in His loving arms, so that whenever He opens His wallet and we serve a generous God, He is going to see you, because you are precious to Him. Could you turn to the Gospel of John? And we're going to start with John chapter 15. If you've got a Bible there, please open it up, John chapter 15. If you've got it as an app on your phone, that's fine as well. Or if you've got a physical Bible, that's good. The version I've got might be slightly different wording, but the essence of what it means will be there. I'm going to be picking out a few verses out of John 15. And what I want to do this morning is to bring together a variety of scriptures that unpack this idea of being precious to God, being close to God, being held in God's heart. And I want to draw just two or three scriptures together. The wonderful image painted in John 15 is of a gardener. We've got the cutting of the branches and in order that the branch might be fruitful. But then in verse 4, we've got this wonderful phrase, "Remain in me as I remain in you." And what Jesus is talking about there, I believe what Jesus is talking about there, is the idea that is unpacked later on in the book of Romans of being grafted into Jesus. Now, we do have an expert on fruit growing with us this morning. Not that I'm going to call on him for help, but if I get it wrong, do feel free to nudge me, okay? So, some of you will know about how to graft things, others will, maybe it's a bit of an arcane knowledge that you really don't know much about. But the idea is that you have a rootstock, okay? And this is in viticulture, or viniculture, is that the right word? Viniculture, for growing of grapes for wine, yeah? And in growing apple trees, in growing all sorts of different fruit trees, you have this idea of a rootstock. A strong, healthy, disease-resistant main trunk of the tree, and into that trunk are taken branches of other fruit-bearing vines or apples or pears or whatever, that are then grafted into the rootstock. And the miracle is that they don't take on the entire nature of the rootstock, but they continue to have the ability to bear their own fruit. So if you take a Braeburn branch, for example, of a Braeburn tree, and graft it into a Cox rootstock, it still bears Braeburn fruit. That's right, isn't it? Yeah? So, I find quite amazing, but it draws the strength of the rootstock and the disease resistance of the rootstock and the strength of the rootstock, but still is able to bear its own fruit. And you can actually graft multiple different branches into the same rootstock. So you can have, you know, a Braeburn and a Pink Lady and a whatever, all grafted into a different rootstock, and each one would bear their own fruit. Isn't that an amazing idea? And that's the image that Jesus is using in John chapter 15, and I say later on Paul expands that a little bit in the book of Romans. The idea that we are individually grafted into Jesus. Alright? Now, isn't that incredible? We're not just in a relationship with him and standing next to him and he puts his arm around us and says, "Hey guys, how you doing? I'm there for you." We are attached to Jesus. Now, it is wonderful to have little Rosie Ruth with us this morning. And it wasn't too long ago before she was actually physically attached to Lydia. Yeah? You know what an umbilical cord is? Yeah? That she was physically, everything she needed was being drawn out of Lydia in order to get her life within her to grow and become the beautiful baby girl she is today. And she will continue to grow. But at some point, just a few weeks ago, that umbilical cord was cut. And she had to start living her life without that physical attachment to Lydia. But what Jesus is saying is that we can regain that closeness to Jesus that is equivalent to having an umbilical cord. That actually everything that we need can be drawn through Jesus into our very lives to become the people that he wants us to be. That we have his DNA in us. We have his... We are made in the image of God, but we are now attached to Jesus. Remain in me as I remain in you. Isn't that awesome? Just to build on that idea of actually being in Jesus. I want to ask you, how often do we try to live our lives without Jesus? How often do we try to do it in our own strength? Without turning to him and saying, "I want to prove myself to God that I can do it for myself. I want to be a strong person. I want to show Jesus that I'm good, and I'm strong, and I'm okay." That's not what he's asking for. He wants us to remain attached to him and draw life from him. Life in all its fullness can only come through Jesus. And the reason that we are attached to Jesus is found in verse 8. "This is to my Father's glory, that you would bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." You see, if a branch is on its own, it's not going to bear fruit. It's only if it's attached to the rootstock, it's only if it's attached to the main trunk of the tree, can it bear fruit. Otherwise, the branches that are cut off and not attached to the rootstock are just thrown away. We can only bear fruit, which is to the Father's glory. That's what he wants, to glorify His holy name, as we've sung this morning, and we can only achieve that if we are attached to the rootstock, to Jesus. You can say, yeah, I want that. I want to be attached to Jesus. I want to be close to Jesus. I want Jesus in my life, and I want to be in Jesus. And verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I have appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Yeah. Not that we say, yeah, we want to be a Christian. But Jesus is saying to you, I'm choosing you. I want you to be attached to me. Not just so that you can have a good time and have life and go, woo, yeah, Jesus. But so that you can bear fruit. He holds up an apple to illustrate the fact that he's talking about bearing fruit. Fruit that will last. I was talking to James Smith, the owner of Loddington Farm, a few weeks ago, and he was explaining to me the kind of dire strait the farm is in because of the hailstorm that happened in the middle of the blossom period of the fruit trees. About 90% of his stock ended up having the blossom being torn away from the trees. And so 90% of his apples are afflicted with blight and misshapen and not very big. By the way, all the apples you have in your hand at the moment are English apples. Just say, you know, because I'm a good boy. And I didn't buy the New Zealand ones. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. God wants us to be close to him in order that we might blossom and grow and bear much fruit. Your prayer life. Okay. Do you come to God with a shopping list? Do you come to God first thing in the morning, maybe last thing at night? Do you wake up in the middle of the night and think, I need to talk to God? Do you get into the car in the morning and give your day that's going to happen back to God? When somebody phones you up, do you just take a moment while they're introducing themselves to say, please God, be with me in this conversation? Does our prayer life reflect the fact that we are attached to Jesus? Or do we just do it occasionally? Do we attach ourselves in our conversation with Jesus every now and again? Or is it something that happens through every element of our day? Because I think we all know that successful, fruitful, flourishing relationships happen when communication happens well. And the more that you can communicate, the better the relationship will be. How do we communicate with God? Is it an occasional thing? Or are we seeing fruit from the fact that we are constantly in touch with God? And I use the phrase in touch. It's a good word, isn't it? Are we touching God? Are we holding on to his hand? Are we recognizing that we are in him and he is in us? Okay, just holding those thoughts for a mind, I want to move on a little bit. I want to turn a little bit more to the fruit that comes from that connection with Jesus. Today is our harvest. We're celebrating God's amazing generosity to us in his giving of himself, and we reflect that by giving back to him. But I'd like, if you would, for you to turn to John chapter 17. Jesus prays throughout John 17 to three different groups of people. He prays for his own relationship with the Father, for his disciples, and for those who would come after. And he prays that they may be one as you and I are one. That we may know the full measure of his joy. Do you know Christ's joy? Do you know the joy that comes from being in Christ? Does that change your life? Does that make you feel like... And it's not just about the feeling. It's the confidence that comes from knowing Christ at work in your life, transforming you, making you more like him. And it's a fleeting thing for most of us, isn't it? That it comes and goes, and every now and again in the midst of worship, we feel that presence of God working within us. And I want to know that joy, not just standing with a group of brothers and sisters here. I want to know that joy when I wake up in the morning. I want to know that joy when I'm having my first cup of coffee. I want to know that joy when a woman is weeping down the phone at me because her husband has died. I want to know that joy so that I can minister the presence of Christ into whatever situation I find myself in. I want that fruit, that joy of Christ, to be the fruit that flows out of my life. And Jesus prays that they may be one as you and I are one, so that they may receive the full measure of Christ's joy. Christ's joy comes from not only being attached to Jesus, but being connected to each other. You see, it doesn't matter what fruit we bear in detail. What matters is that we are together attached to the rootstock. A rootstock can maintain all sorts of different branches, but bear all sorts of different fruit. But the fruit I really want is joy. I want my life to be overflowing with joy. Thank you so much, Elaine, that you prayed this morning that I was a joyful person. And I just thank God for that, because you didn't know what I was going to say later. And I just bless God that he was affirming that in me as you prayed this morning. Wouldn't you like to know the joy of the Lord? And the way we can do that. Did you not feel at least something of the joy of the Lord this morning when we came together to worship? Yeah? And that, I believe, is because we came together. Yeah? I believe that we tasted a foretaste of heaven, of coming together to worship God, to be in his presence together. We are children of the same heavenly Father. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. But we are not in love with each other. Now you think about your relationship with the person or people that you are in love with. Is there anything you wouldn't do for them? Would you pour out yourself sacrificially for them, even at the cost of your own life? Greater love hath no man than that he lays down his life for his friends. Surely people who are in love are more than just friends. John 13:35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Anybody want to finish the verse? If you have love one for another. Yeah? Surely the fruit that Jesus wants. It's all right, thank you, Megan. The fruit that Jesus wants is to see more fruit. To see more lives coming into his kingdom. He is calling people far and wide to himself. And we are his voice, we are his hands, we are his feet. They will know that you are Jesus' disciples by one thing only. By the love that you have for one another. Are we in love with one another? The reason we're grafted into the vine that is Jesus. Is love. My prayer is that the world's desire will be to love as we love. It's a scary thought, isn't it? Do we love enough so that the world can look at us and say, I want to love like that. I want to be loved like that. I want to love others in the way that you guys love each other. To me, that is just incredibly challenging and scary and frightening and kind of worrisome. Because much as I love you guys, I don't love you enough. And I don't really know what it means to sacrifice myself for you. Let me draw what I'm saying to a conclusion. First of all, we need to know in our hearts that we are God's beloved children. We need to know that we may not love ourselves. And that kind of starts with a bit of a handicap, if you like. But God can break through that. God can break through our feelings about who we are and what we are to know that we are his beloved children. And the more that he loves us, then the more we grow in confidence both about ourselves and our relationship with others. And we know that we are loved because he has told us that we are grafted in him and that we need to remain in him and he in us, because if we don't remain in him, what happens is the branches don't bear fruit, and in fact they end up, as Jesus says in John 15, getting thrown out and thrown in the fire. And so we've got to remain grafted in Jesus. He welcomes us in. He calls us to be in. It's not that we choose, I want to be Jesus. Jesus says, I want you. I love you. Come to me and have life. So that we can be one with him and one with each other. The two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's tough if we don't love ourselves, but I want to assure you that if you don't love yourself, God loves you. And he wants you to know that you are beautiful and precious, and you are his beloved, and he carries you around close to his heart in his giant-sized wallet that he wants to open to pour out his goodness to you. And if we can love one another and show our love for one another, then the world will see, and they too will desire that relationship with God, because our love for one another can only come out of our relationship with God. So your homework today is to find ways that you can demonstrate your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. It can be as unique and original as you like, but find a way that you can show one of your brothers and sisters in Christ that they are loved by you. It can be as simple as saying to them, "I love you," which is a really difficult thing to say for most of us because we're English. So the sacrifice.
Love you, Phil.
There you are, he's got there ahead of the game. And I love you too, Ben. And I love you too, Jackie. Yeah. Charlie, I love you, mate. The trouble is if I start going around, I'm going to forget somebody's name. Find ways to demonstrate your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Not just once, but I love you too, Bowden.
Love you.
But you need to do it over and over again. You need to find ways to sacrifice yourself. If our love is going to be the same as Jesus, which it can never be because obviously he's Jesus, but if we want to live out our lives as little Jesuses in the community, that we need to be willing and able, because greater love hath no one than this, than that they lay down their life for their friends. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Do you want me to do something now?
Yes, you take your apple away with you, you can eat it. If you feel you dare, you might need to wash it first, depending on where it's been. But take an apple with you. If you want to, yeah, eat it, but every time you buy an apple, every time you have an apple in your fruit bowl, every time you have an apple with your meal or with whatever, if you have an apple, remember, you are the apple of God's eye. Yeah? You are his beloved. Every time you see an apple, it is a reminder to you that God loves you.
Brilliant. I don't really have to follow that. That's wonderful. So I just wanted to say, well, thank you, Phil, for that talk. I think it gave us a lot to think about. I wrote down some of the quotes as well. So I'm going to make some t-shirts. God always has a picture of you in his wallet. And what was the other one, Fred? God would have you at this safe screen, and I've got Feel Goody 2021, so wonderful. thank you for coming today, guys. The main notice really is we're back next week with Bacon. Like Phil said, if you feel like you're able to volunteer and help out in the kitchen, please let us know. That would be fantastic. And if you would love it if you could help us pack up, otherwise it's just a couple of us doing it. So if we could all work together and pack up, that would be wonderful. Have a blessed week, guys, and